Welcome to another episode of the West Life podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. We are live on the Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube channels. So give us a follow at West Life Pod on all of those, or West Life on YouTube. And as always, we are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues, the best place to watch the game live and loud on Sundays. We take on the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Obviously, in that ad, I sounded a bit drunk when I said, couldn't pronounce Illawarra correctly, but Illawarra Dragons. Apologies to everyone south, down south, for incorrectly saying your name in that ad there. But boys, we're back again. I've got my co-hosts with us to preview what could be three wins in a row. Now, we haven't done that in a season for a few years now. But first up, Rob Bishara, thanks for joining us. You're in the middle of a vacation. You're in a hotel, but you're still taking the time to come on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, Josh. Thanks for having me, mate.
Whoop. Siri, sorry. Siri's just, for whatever reason, come on to my audio then. And with his brand new microphone set up, he looks like a pro. From the days of walking from a mobile phone and spilling his food as he's eating in the background. Shane from Empty Pump Solutions doing dishes as you're talking on the podcast. You got the full setup ready to go, and it sounds mint as.
Yeah, that's it. Got the $30 Kogan special with the stand, the microphone, the whole lot. So thought I'd give it a go and see how it is.
And a few people dropping in comments on the YouTube channel, and you can do so as well on Facebook and Twitter. If you've got any questions for us tonight, absolutely go for it, and we'll bring them up on the screen as we go along. So firstly, as I bring up my notes here, so we'll go through the news first. So first up, Jimmy Roberts, for some reason, the club didn't announce this. It just came through on his Instagram feed when he showed an image of his leg. Sorry, not his leg, of his hospital bed, and basically just come out of surgery. Boys, he's out with a back injury. The club were just talking off air that we're surprised the club wouldn't give an update on this before Jimmy does on his Instagram. Rob, it's a bit odd, but not good for poor Jimmy anyway.
Yeah, it's a surprising one. As you said, no one knew about it. It's concerning that it's a back injury. We're definitely lacking some centre depth. So I'm guessing it's going to be at least 8 weeks, but, I mean, who knows if he's going to be back. Pardon the pun, but who knows if he's going to be back in time and play another game this season, because you know, backs aren't easy injuries to come back from, especially in such a brutal contact sport like rugby league. So definitely concerning. We need some troops back ASAP because, as I said Monday night, we're down to the bones in terms of depth.
And Shane, Jimmy Roberts, it's quite a shame. Like, obviously, late last year, we're going to be surprised if he re-signed and then he's on the training trial. When he was healthy and playing, he was almost back to his, I wouldn't say his peak, but he definitely was a solid first grader before he went down.
Yeah, well, that's it. Last year, he wasn't playing that good. He's been playing pretty good. Like, seeing him getting that early ball, a couple of runs through. Look, it's unfortunate, but these things happen, but yeah, just for the club to not announce it, it was a bit weird. I don't really understand why they're holding that back. And as we're talking about off air, what do we do now? We need centres. We've now got a centre off for probably 8 to 10 weeks at the minimum. So he's going to be coming back with a few games to go. Do we release him and go sign a center, like go look for somebody, whether it's in Super League, which, look, it doesn't work out as easy as if they're NRL tried and tested, but we need something. just for backup, even just that's going to be the hard part, I guess. What do we do now? It's seems like the NRL's sort of short-stocked on centres, with a lot of second rows becoming centres. So we'll see how we go, I guess.
Yeah, we'll talk about Luke Garner being in centres again when we go to the team list a little bit further on. The other news story that I could find, it's funny how a couple of wins in a row, it's actually quite hard to find news stories about us this week. The only other one, they're trying to pump up that Aaron Woods was denied by Madge that to come back to the West Tigers. So I think we said it late last year that Woodsy was trying to come back to the West Tigers. So we had heard that rumour. But Madge said no. Rob, do you think it was a good call from Madge?
Yeah, it was a perfect call from Madge. No offence to Woodsy. He does offer some experience, but even if he had a blinder this week, I don't think he's done much for St. George this year. He struggled to make first grade there. I don't think he's been in first grade all the weeks. He was there last week, but there were a couple of weeks he was missing. So I think our props have gone really well, and there's really no room for him.
And yeah, that's shame. It. Like, our props are better. Let's be honest. Woodsy's well past his best, and we've already got one leader there in Jimmy Tamo, and Jimmy Tamo is playing better than Aaron Woods. So why would you have two? There's absolutely no need. The young boys are playing really well. And it would have just been, to be honest, it just would have been a typical Tigers signing, really, like of the old. Just jump on him because he's there and he wants to come to the club. Like, we don't need him. Good riddance.
Rob, do you think we're past the days of being a retirement village at West Tigers? Do you think we're smart enough? I mean, look, some people might argue James Tarmow is in that basket, but you can't. James Tarmow on 700K over two years isn't the same as some of the other signings we've had over the years. Can the West Tigers continue their winning streak as they take on the St. George Illawarra Dragons live and loud on the big screen this Sunday, 1st of May? Kickoff is at 4:05 p.m. Now, the ambush there back at West Ashfield for this game, and they're giving away exciting prizes. So West Ashfield will be offering half price at beer and pizza until half time. Terms and conditions apply, selected beers only, and West Ashfield practices the responsible service of alcohol, drink responsibly. West Ashfield is home of the West Tigers. West Ashfield are at 115 Liverpool Road, Ashfield. For more information, visit West Ashfield at www.westashfield.com.au or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at West Ashfield.
Look, I'll be honest, last year I was thinking James Tarmo was a retirement signing. No offence to James, but he's a great guy. He's showing a lot, especially the last few weeks, in terms of leadership and, more importantly, performance on the field. I wouldn't say it's out of the question yet, because we're still a club that struggles to attract players, and we do have a lot of young players there. So if we do sign an older player who can, you know, buy into the work ethic and what we're meant to do at training and all that sort of stuff that James Tarmo provides, or someone like him provides, I don't think we're over it yet. I'm hoping, you know, we're a little bit smarter than we used to be, but we've definitely had too many guys who are injured or past their best want to come to us, you know, for the sake of some money and, you know, just getting a couple more years and having a bit of a holiday.
Shane, Jared's dropping the comments there. Woodsy's best was when after he left us. Can you think of any other players that have left West Tigers and been worse? Like, obviously, your Tedescos have gotten better. Maybe Scott Prince was on the end of his career, but he was still pretty good after.
Yeah, like, he still did good. Any. Nah, like,
I think Blake Boston got better at Canberra.
Yeah.
For a couple of years.
No, we're talking about who got worse. Who got worse?
Oh, who got worse?
We could go all night. If we talk about who got better, we'll be here all night.
Mate, we've got an episode. We've got a whole other team that done better. Didn't you see it every week last year?
Yeah.
Well, I think Ryan Madison 2019 us was elite.
That just popped up.
So even though he plays okay for Para, I think he's gone backwards. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Who was that? Randomizer Inc. Yeah, okay. We agree.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, 100%. Like, I didn't even think about him.
Oh, Robbie Farrell wasn't the same when he went to South.
Isan Masters wasn't really that good for us, though. So,
yeah, but he did get worse again.
He played for New Zealand. He played for New Zealand.
That doesn't
matter. I don't know. He kicked that when he missed that goal in front when he did his ankle. I think it was in 2018, 2019. And he had that injection in his ankle and he missed that one right in front. That was like, sorry, bro, you have to go. I'm done. I'm so sick of it. I can't do it anymore.
Tom said,
well, Tom's right there. Benji, yeah.
He was second in Daily M at the Dragons. He was close to winning the Daily M award at the Dragons. He was still pretty good at the Dragons, but.
But he wasn't as good as us. He wasn't as good as when he was with us.
Yeah. Yeah, he was probably 80% of what he was with us.
Plus, Daly M award. He peaked at Tigers.
Monique said Corey Thompson, he's been all right for the Titans.
To be honest, Thompson was really good last year, but he's not getting a run at all this year. So I don't know what's going on up there, eh? Like, he was really – I was shocked with him last year.
Bo Ryan.
I think he was pretty mad across the park.
Yeah. Cheekam.
He's had surgery. He's out for the whole season. Yeah, I think
really.
I saw the other day. He posted a thing. He hurt himself. I'm pretty sure it was preseason, and he's finally had surgery on whatever it was, and he's out for the rest of the season. Cheeks is out. Yeah, I saw it on his Instagram. It came up on his stories or something.
Well, thank God for the comments, because a lot of good answers in there. Yeah, righto, lower grades this weekend. So our cup side are actually playing before first grade, which is pretty good to see. So they're playing at 1:40 at Wollongong on Sunday. Our Harvey Norman women, they're playing the Central Coast Roosters at Morey Breen at Wyong. It's technically in Campbell, if you know Central Coast. It's actually not in Wyong. 1 p.m. Sunday up the Central Coast, and our Flegg side are playing at 11 a.m. Sunday versus the Dragons at Zeems Park. Does anyone know where Zeems Park is? I've got to Google where that is, but it just said Zeems Park, Sydney. So if anyone knows where Zeems
Park is. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Zeems. Yep. And, of course, our Harold Matthews Magpies, they are playing the Cronulla Sharks in the grand final at 12:45 at Combank Stadium on Saturday. So get out and support our young Maggie's juniors. Boys, we touched on our juniors a little bit on Monday's show. I mean, for 2.5 hours, we touched on just about everything. But Shane, again, good signs of these young kids coming through.
Yeah, well... Look, they've got a they're in a grand final, and that's amazing. So, we had a really good, but we obviously had an undefeated Flegg team last year. Then COVID finished that. Pretty much, what we were third. I think we were third, weren't we last year in the KO New South Wales Cup? So, look, we were playing good. This year's a little bit different. As we were saying last week, a lot of the Flegg boys have moved up to play against adults, really. So when you've got kids up against adults, it makes it a little bit hard. So they're not doing very good this year. But look, give them a couple of years and hopefully we sort it all out. But it's good to actually have some juniors playing some good footy, you know. Just as we were saying last week, we just got to hold on to these young fellas. Like, we've got to identify them early and just go, okay, boys, bang, let's sign you, and just keep them there. Like, we have got to look after them. Otherwise, every other club's just kind of going to poach your crop. which seems to happen to us all the time. So,
thanks to Tim. Apparently, that oval is in Northern Illawarra, even though it said Sydney on the New South Wales RL app. So there you go. It's actually not technically in Sydney. Rob, you had a bit of a giggle there. Was it something we said, or you saw something you watched in the footy in the background and something hilarious happened?
There was something Shane said, and I've forgotten what I was laughing
at. Okay.
So, I think I was laughing at Northern Illawarra and you'd said it was in Sydney, so I just thought it was a bit funny.
I'm just reading.
Yeah, I know you were reading what Tim was in front of you, yeah. So.
Tim's... Yeah, it says Corrimal, suburb of Wollongong. So,
there you go.
Wild may say Wollongong.
Good that we got some messenger. Viewers in the night.
That's not Sydney.
Yeah, it's so good. But these guys did all the work for us. We don't even have to do research. Righto, on to first grade. So we're playing on Sunday, the 1st of May, 4:05 PM at Wynn Stadium, Wollongong. And the team list is on the screen now if you're watching on video. So the team list, so Stafford Toa, as he played in the second half last weekend, he's at fullback. David Nofaluma and Cameron Molo still on the wings. Luke Garner is nailing down that center position. He's there again, actually wearing a number 3, and Oliver Gildart is at number 4 in the other centers. Obviously because Stafford Toa has moved out of the centers, they've gone to fullback. The halves, the best halves pairing in the NRL at the moment, arguably, maybe. Luke Brooks and Jackson Hastings. Front row forwards, Jimmy Tarmow and Zane Musgrove. Kelma Tuolagi is back, which is huge. Luciano Leilua is his back row partner. Lids has been named at hooker. And on the bench, Jock Madden, Alex Twell, Thomas McKaylee, Alex Safar. So Jakey Simpkins there at 18th man. Boys, have you heard anything about Jakey Simpkin being a chance, or is he still, is it an injury thing, or just Madge doesn't like to change after a win? Rob?
Well, I heard he's...
Or Shane?
Sorry, I heard he's back training with the boys, so that's good. That's... Whether he plays, it's sort of hard to tell. I'd say that Madge would stick to Little, because look, he played really good last week. The only issue is definitely slowing down. I do like Jake. He's just got a massive motor on him, and I think that's what we need. Little just sort of slows down, gets tired. I really do think Jake can sort of keep it up for 80 minutes. I really do believe he'll be an 80-minute hooker. So. Just we need to get him more game time.
Sorry, you said Jake as in Simpkin, not Jake.
Simpkin. Yeah. Jake Simpkin.
Jake, yeah. Not Jacob. Yeah.
Jacob.
Rob, your thoughts on running with Lids again? We admitted on Monday, well, you guys admitted it because you guys were pretty harsh, to put it nicely, about Lids. For his game against the Sharks, and he's had a bit of a comeback since then. Are you as worried about Jacob Little at hooker still?
Not as worried, but I mean, he's got to do that week in, week out. I'm not sure what to read with the naming of Simpkin. I can't imagine Madge would name him unless he was going to get a run, even if he's going to rotate hookers on the bench and change that bench up. I'm really not sure what he's going to do, but I don't know if he'd be ready yet, but I'm thinking, why would Madge put him as 18th man if he wasn't going to play at all? So maybe he's hoping he's going to be ready, and he's just giving him till the last sort of minute to see how he goes. And I guess, you know, we'll go from there. But it's a tough one to read. I mean, Little was amazing. And as we said, that tackle stopped a turning point, what should have been a turning point in the game. So there's no bagging Jacob Little this week. That's for sure. He played awesome.
In the comments, Shane, Randomizer said he's heard a rumor that Lids has been told to look elsewhere.
He's signed for next year, but I've heard the same thing. I heard that he was actually getting shopped to Bulldogs and Eels. But obviously, Bulldogs signed Reid Mahoney, so
Marnie, yeah.
Only Eels. But I think who did Eels signed Hodgson, so
true.
They signed him for next year, so who knows? But look, Hodgson's old, he just blew his knee out. You'd be going for someone young just in case. So look, it wouldn't surprise me if we do see Jacob head off to the Eels, really. Because yeah. You gotta think next year we'll have Jacob Little, Jake Simkin, Abby Corrissau, and Rua, all dummy halves in the top 30. So, look, someone's got to give. Like, I don't mind having three, but having four is a bit excessive. I'd rather put – we need depth in the back. So, to have four hookers, it's just stupid. So, look, it wouldn't surprise me that Little gets told. To be honest, he probably has been told. And we'll hear it by the end of the year that he's probably signed somewhere else.
Rob, a couple of comments that kind of bleed into another. So, Rhodes of Oz, hopefully Little gets 50 minutes, Madden coming in for 30, or Brooks, and Brooks slotting into 9. And Jared said if both are fit and playing well, they should both be in there. So, thoughts on Jock Madden putting a half at the 14 rather than an actual hooker there? Jock's seemed to be pretty good coming off the bench, but would you rather, if Jake Simpkins healthy, run with two hookers, or you don't mind Jock Madden coming off the bench?
It's a tough one. You can't have two small guys on the bench. So I'd rather, if we're going to run two hookers, I'd rather three middles on the bench. Personally, I prefer Simkin for 80 minutes or be the main hooker as such. But, you know, can't deny Jacob Little last week. He played great. But as Shane's pretty much summed up the whole hooking situation perfectly, leaving Rua out of the equation, even three doesn't go into two. And Jake Simpkins is on record last week publicly as saying he's happy to learn under Abby Corrissau, and he's only young, and you know, he's still a couple of years away. And realistically, this is Appy's last contract wherever he goes. So I think, you know, Jake would be, you know, happy to sit back and take over in 2025.
Cass just joined us on Facebook. Reckons Lids has asked for a release as well. I mean, it seems like the right thing. He needs, he obviously can see the writing on the wall with Appy coming in, and he probably wants to be the number one hooker in a club this year. But it's a shame. He's also such a nice kid.
Yeah, that's it. But also the fact that the club has already signed Rua for 2 years. That shows something as well. Like, you've got a young fella who just got signed for 2 years coming in, and you've got Simkin as well. So who's the odd one out? Like, we all know that Jake Simkin is probably going to be the future of the Tigers. He just needs a bit more time to sort of cruise it out, get a bit of game time under his belt, and just pretty much get used to first grade. We've tried our hardest with Little for years, and he was meant to be the next Robbie Farah. And like, that's what people were toting him to be. He plays the same style as Robbie Farah. And then we saw him injured more than playing. So I think you've got to get to a point where you just go, boys, we're sort of like, we gave you a red hot crack, Jake, but thank you. Goodbye. That's sort of what we've got to do. And to be honest, we've got to do it with more people.
If he plays like Saturday, he's going to be a good pickup for another club. He's just got to be consistent. Yeah. He had a great first half against New Zealand. He had, in my opinion, two shocking games against the Gold Coast and Cronulla. And he's pulled out a blinder. He's absolutely pulled out a blinder against South Sydney and, you know, ultimately, I think, saved the day. So, you know, like I said, it just depends which Jacob Little's going to show up. I know he stopped watching Westlife podcast, that's for sure. So.
Hey, I love Jakey Simkin. Love Jacob.
Yeah, I love Simkin too.
Jacob Little, Central Coast boys. We stick together. He's a good Wyong boy. Righto, Stafford Tuller at fullback, boys. So obviously Dane Laurie has got several weeks on the sidelines. Shane, how much of a negative having Stafford? Is there any negative from having Stafford instead of Dame? Dame was starting to come on. We're pretty critical of him the first few rounds and starts to play well, and the poor kid gets an injury. But do you have confidence in Stafford to get the job done?
Look, him playing at the back, I've got no issues with. The problem is he's not in the centres. Exactly. That is the problem with him playing at fullback. He's not in the centres. Look, as you all know, I like Ollie. I do like Ollie Gildart. And I do believe, give him a bit of time, he's going to come good because his attacking's good. And we did see, look, he made one mistake which led to a try, which is frustrating last week, but he manned up, hit his tackles, and to be honest, he did play fairly well in that second half, bar that one mistake. I think that's the biggest issue we've got. Stafford isn't playing in the centres because, mate, he was so good in the first half. He was making damaging runs. The only good thing is we've got that now running out of the back. So, I don't know. I don't think he's weak under the high ball. I don't think he is. He's missed two hard balls to catch. Like they're sort of, you've got a lot of pressure. You get switched from going from centres to fullback. Look, I've seen him the last, against the Warriors, they were just kicking to him the whole time and he didn't miss anything. So I really don't think he's weak under the high ball. I think people just miss a ball, and we've seen worse takes from Dane. And he's a fullback, so we've seen worse takes from Dane. Look, I reckon, if he drops one ball a game, like, it's frustrating, but, oh, well, there's really not much you can do. He's not an out-and-out fullback, so you sort of can't expect him to be the best under the ball, but I don't think he's weak.
Rob, thoughts on Stafford at the back instead of Dane? Obviously, he's probably going to be there for the next 5 or 6 weeks, so... can you see him performing in that position and keeping that position? Do you see any other person moving to fullback other than him before Dane comes back?
I don't think so. I think he'll be there till Dane comes back. And Shane summed it up perfectly. It just hurts that we have one left centre to choose from, because, as I said last Monday night, you know, he'd nail down that left centre spot. He's got lightning feet. He's looking really exciting. One thing I will take Shane to task on, I don't think he can afford to drop a bomb a game. That was a problem with Mbai when he was fullback, you know, a few years ago. He was just dropping simple balls. He had the ball playing skills. He had everything else going for him. He just couldn't catch a basic bomb. And that bomb that Stafford dropped the other night, okay, granted, it's a high pressure game and all that, but there was no one on him. There was no one jumping up with him. Not bagging him, let's just call it a mistake. It's just their catches. He's going to get used to playing more fullback. So I've got no problem with him being a fullback. I think he's a great acquisition, as I said Monday night, and he'll get better over the next few weeks. So let's just hope Ollie plays a lot better at centre, because he's got a massive job with Zach Lomax, trying to mark Zach Lomax this week, because the guy's a freak of a player and he's got a great offload. So, yeah, let's just say, I'm sure, you know, Jacob Little pulled his finger out last week when we thought we were all worried about him. So hopefully Ollie can do the same this week against St. George.
Yeah, that's it.
Shane, a couple of people suggesting Nofa, Gavin and on Facebook and Jared on the YouTube, suggesting Nofa at fullback. We've tried that in the past and it hasn't really worked.
Well, Nofa just doesn't want to play it. That's what it is. When they were young, Noffa was playing fullback. He played fullback for Magpies. And to be honest, he was keeping James Tedesco out of that position. So, look, he can definitely play it. He doesn't want to play it. That's the difference. So, if you don't want to play it, he wants to play on the wing. You can't sit there and go, no, you're definitely playing fullback, when you've got Toa, who is just keen to play first grade. He'll put his hand up every time. Whereas Noff is like, nah, I'll stick on the wing. That's what I play. And let's be honest, he's now a winger. Like, he shouldn't have to get shifted to fullback. So that's right, that's my opinions. And that's what I've heard. He doesn't want to play it.
I'll just add to that, guys, with Noff, If something, heaven forbid, happens to Toa, like this week or next week, Noffa will end up moving to fullback. Like, yeah, I know, yeah. But it's, we're literally,
he'll have out. To.
He'll have to, but he won't be, you know, we've got to go with Toa. So, but yeah, Noffa would be next on the list just by force for no other reason.
Rhodes of Oz makes a good point. Keep the wingers where they are. Ken and Noffa, on just finishing tries and doing what they do. Yeah, I wouldn't.
And that's where we're scoring.
The system, yeah.
That is where we're scoring. Like, we need the wingers on fire, and they're on fire. So,
and thankfully, Jackson Hastings nailing the conversions on their score. Tim says he plays fullback for Samoa. I know, but when it comes to Samoa, like, the majority of the Samoan team, like, are wingers, centers. They kind of got to, when it comes to, like, the Minnow countries have really got to shuffle, put guys in positions, because the best players tend to be the same positions. So they kind of,
yeah, they got wingers and centers and wingers as halves.
Plus, it's different sort of football.
A winger is a lock.
Bit different. Right. So, obviously, with Stafford moving to fullback, that means Oliver Gildart has moved into the centres. A few people have already dropped comments about Ollie. So, Phil, have a patience with Ollie. You may look out of his depth at the moment, but he served his apprenticeship under Sean Wayne, a great defensive coach. He'll come good. Does anyone, I'm assuming that's someone over in England. Does anyone know who Sean Wayne is? I read it as Shane Warne with a bit of dyslexia at first, but does anyone know who that is? Phil, if you want to confirm who that is in the comments. But Shane, you're a fan of Ollie. A few people a bit worried about his defense. Who's he marking this week? Will it be Sully or
Lomax? No, he'll be doing Sully because they face their opposites. So three face four.
Mate, he'll be on the left side. Center will be playing right center, Shane. Zach Lomax is right center. Ollie will be left center.
Yeah, but
Luke Garner will be center, mate.
Luke Garner doesn't four faces three faces four.
I don't care what number it is. One plays left center. Left center's opposite right center. Like, that's how it's going to pan out.
Coach of England, thanks, Phil.
I don't think they'll put Ollie on Lomax. I reckon they'll put him on Sully.
I'll bet you.
I think they would definitely be putting Garner on Lomax. Like, no. I would be.
Attacking wise, that might be 100% good for Oliver.
Okay, we'll see.
Like, I'm just saying what I would do. I'm just telling you now. That's what I would do. I would put Garner against Lomax 100% because we need to stop him, because that is the guy who's going to give Ravlar a run. And I'm telling you now, he will just run straight through us. So we need Garner to face up against Lomax, because Lomax.
I don't think Garner's got the speed to go with Lomax anyway. I don't think Garner's got the speed to go with Lomax. Sully's got a bit more speed than Garner, but I think Garner can handle Sully for size and for pace. But I think Lomax has got too much footwork. That's where Ollie, if he does his job right, can handle him. And I accept what Phil said there, because, like, Phil told me the same thing the other night on Twitter. So I know he needs more time. And as Shane said, we're probably not going to see the best of him till later in the year or next year. His defence is fine. It's just reading the plays. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's it. He makes his tackles.
He just got to work out where the ball's going.
Well, that's it. Stags isn't wearing the 4 jersey. He's wearing the 3 jersey.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you now, 3 plays 4, 4 plays 3. That's football. Like, that's, I remember that.
They don't have to, though, do they? You can swap.
You don't have to. You can swap them around. You can run wherever you want. But that's typically where you line up. Like, if you line up 3 against 4, 4 against 3. Same as wingers, 2 against 5, 5 against 2. It's the same thing. You line up opposite. So, look, how they're lined up now, it would be Luke Garner against Lomax and Oliver Gildart versus Moses Sully. That's what it would be in the lineup right now.
No chance. I love you, Shane. No chance.
I'm telling you, by numbers, Rob, have a look right now. Have a look right now. I'm talking about team list. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about team list right now, how they would line up on our team list that we are looking at right now.
Yeah.
Oliver Gildart, Moses Suli, Luke Garner, Zach Lomax. That is how they line up.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you, mate.
It's a podcast.
I'm looking at it right now.
I don't think the numbers mean jack shit. I really don't. No offense. It means nothing. Your left center and your right. Gildart's played left center all year. Garner played right center last week. He's not changing it, mate.
Have a look. Look at the team list. They're telling us.
Yeah, but
Time will tell.
Rob, I'm talking about the team list. Looking at it right now. You're looking at it with me. You can see exactly what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's compulsory to have number three at left or number four at right or vice versa.
They do, though, Rob. That's the thing.
I'm not arguing. I'm letting it go.
I'm watching it right now.
Okay.
You got Herbie playing on the left, playing in the four jersey against number three.
Okay.
This reminds me of an argument I had. Like, arguments I have with my wife. This is pointless.
It is pretty much.
I'm just reading it as the team list goes, and that's how you play footy. That's how when I played footy, that's how you played footy, bro.
Fair enough.
I played enough footy to know that.
Kelma Tuilagi's back, boys. Kelma Tuilagi's back. He's in number 11, so we can fight over whether he'll be left or right, and who he'll be matching up as well. So, Shane, how good to have Kelma back. Alex Seifarth did a pretty good job last week, but Kelma's a huge in for us.
Yeah, look, to be honest, why was Kelma out? Does anyone know why he was actually out?
Concussion protocol, wasn't it?
No, that was a couple of weeks before.
The
Warriors game, I think.
There was something.
Or might have been the Gold Coast game.
Like, if he was out through injury, wouldn't you just run Seifarth? Like, I thought Seifarth played excellent.
Rachel's got us, guys. He's had the flu. Kelma was sick. Yeah, it's all coming through in the comments. He was crook.
Yeah, so, look, I don't know. If you have the flu, like, I'm pretty cooked for 2 weeks after flu, to be 100% honest. So, like, I don't know. I'd probably be running Seifarth again because I thought he played really well. Defensively, he was great. I don't know. He'll probably only play 5 minutes off the bench like we seem to see him play. So it's just a waste of being on the bench.
With all due respect, I think elite athletes get over illness a bit quicker than us. And they'll have all the best drugs and that sort of thing.
I'm elite.
Getting into him. But, okay. Mr. ex-power lifter. I think Kelma would be okay if he had an illness. I mean, it depends. I mean, yeah, I'll complain about a cold for a week as well. He might have a bit of a runny nose, but I think, just inject him with a bit of something and he'll be right to go. Rob,
give him the old Bronson Sherry treatment. That'll get him working.
Well, he's leaving at the end of the year anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That'll get him going red hot.
Rob, thoughts on Kelma being back? Shane said, saying that Alex, you might have run with Alex again, but do you think, if Kelma was ready to go, you got to throw him. He's been one of our best all year.
Yeah, I agree. I'd go with Kelma. But Alex is playing great, as Shane said. I'm actually tipping Kelma to get a try this year, this week as well. So, I'd have him back in a heartbeat. He's a strike player. He's got a good offload. He hits hard, as, you know, we've mentioned on the pod before. So, he'd be my first choice, 100%. I'm just worried about how the centers are going to line up now, because if it pans out how Shane said, you might see me in about 6 months from now.
No, look, I'm just going off team shots.
You're probably
all I'm going off.
Disappear. This could be my last appearance. This could be my.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. We'll watch Lomax run straight through Gildart, and then Garner will go there. I reckon we're going to see 3 or 4 center changes during the game, depending on who's tired and where people are.
I'm worried about being called running through Rob Bishara at the moment.
Boys, why don't we make it a bet? Make it a bet of a round of golf. Someone has to shout a round of golf, depending on which side Luke and Ollie are on.
Deal. I'll send Madge a text. 100%.
I'm just happy to play a round of golf, to be honest. Whether I'm paying or not, I don't care.
So Shane, which order are you saying it'll be?
Garner to the right, Ollie to the left. I'm just going off what the team sheet is. Because if that's they were going to play,
Jesus.
Garner to the right.
Like, this is like Abbott and Costello. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Well, Nofaluma's on the right. And I'm looking here. So
who's going to be next to Nofaluma?
Garner.
That's what I said, bro.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're lined up, and you're saying that Moses Suli will be against Garner. But it's not
because Moses Suli is the left centre for St. George. He's played there all year.
Yeah, then why is he not wearing a four? Because they're playing left.
Because
that's what I'm saying, Rob. I'm talking about the Illawarra thing. Yeah, well, I hear you,
but I'm saying Zach Lomax plays on the right and Suli plays on the left.
100%. But then why would their fucking spastic coach put him down in the wrong positions on our team list that we're looking at? That's what I'm talking about.
I always
thought of course it's St. George Illawarra.
Yeah, but off the team list, I'm looking at it saying you got to cross them over, and that's who's facing who, supposedly. But Garner will be playing right because he's right next to Nofaluma, according to our team list. And you got Gildart next to Ken, according to our team list. That's all I'm saying. And that was the whole argument. So I think you misunderstood me. I think you misunderstood me.
Our left or Dragons left?
I think I did. I think we've been agreeing on the same thing.
I was just going off team sheet.
Yeah.
You guys should be married.
We've done it to death, I think. Next.
I think we are.
So, we touched on him a little bit to the bench. In terms of rotations, Shane, last week the rotations were forced through injury. How do you think Madge is going to work through the rotations this week?
Well, unfortunately, if we don't have injuries, I think we'll be seeing Garner play for 5 minutes again because he seemed to do it for five games straight. So, look, I'll be 100% honest. I have no idea what Madge thinks when he does that, but I'll leave it alone.
Garner, you mean Seyfarth?
Seyfarth, yes. Yeah, Seyfarth plays for five. Yeah. He plays for 5 minutes. Literally every game he played for 5 minutes. And it was just, unless it was an injury, he came or a HIA, he came on for 10 minutes. I think that was the Kelmer one. He came on for 10 minutes and then went off again and then came back on the last 5 minutes. So it was just like, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with it. I'd be running him in the forwards and just using a bit of strike towards to the end of the game. I just don't understand his rotation. It's just, I think we've spoken about it to the death because we've seen it for five games straight, and then two games it was different. So I don't know anymore.
Rob, we've been Madge supporters, but his rotations, I think the entire fan base have been confused on how he does them. How can you see him, assuming there's no injuries? How do you see this one going? Like the rotation wise,
if we line up 1-17 as named, based on what Madge has done for the whole year, I think you'll get somewhere between 5 and 20 minutes at the back end of the game. That's as simple as that. It's not going to be anything different. He's just going to be like a spare player, basically. And if there's an injury, well, then obviously we'll try and do a little bit of a shuffle. But yeah, I think he'll be used in the back half of the second half of the game.
Another thing to touch on, boy. So Tyrone Peachey named on the wing, I believe, for the Magpies on Sunday, and obviously outside the 18, the squad for this week. Shane, can you see Peachey, injury aside, can you see Peachey getting back in?
Where would you play him? Like, let's be honest, unless it, as you said, if there's injury, then fair enough, but I think Jock has played well enough and Brooks played well enough in the hooker position to really not need him. Like I said it, like I think I posted the team list to you boys the other day and he was playing in the halves. So has he been shifted to the wing, Josh, for the game?
I saw it on Instagram. I really should
because when I posted it to you boys, he was playing 5/8.
That's what I saw.
And that's when I said, like, what's the point? Why did we buy him? Like, we were going to use him as this 14 super sub that can play anywhere.
Sorry, he's been named as six. My bad.
Why is he not playing in the centers? You know what I mean?
I think I counted wrong.
He'd play good. He'd play good in the centers.
He's at the six.
So, yeah, I don't understand because we bought him because he can pretty much cover anywhere in the back line and we're not using him in the back line. We're only using him as a half and a lock. Or sometimes he'll slip into hooker. So, I don't know.
See, he's the guy he should be that guy left for that, you know, if I'm not going to play him at all, he's the guy that should be on the bench for that crazy injury where if a winger, center, fullback, second rower, someone comes off, you can do a bit of a shuffle and he can slot in everywhere, dummy half, whatever the case may be. Peachy's ideal for that. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, really.
You've answered Tim. Tim kind of asked a question pretty much.
Yeah, well, exactly. It'd be Peachy, but you can't afford Peachy and Jock Madden on the bench. So that's the only thing I'd say. Jock's done nothing wrong, but I'd have someone that can cover a lot more positions than 5/8 and possibly halfback and maybe 10 minutes of hooker.
Gus has asked Shane, do you think it's an attitude thing with Peachy? He has the talent. Is there anything you've heard or noticed attitude-wise with Peachy? That's a good point by Gavin, the sin bins.
The sin bin's stupid, but that last sin bin was an absolute load of shit. That shouldn't have been a sin bin. I couldn't believe when that got called. But the fact that he is in our leadership group and can't even make the first, our team, that's wild. I don't know, man. I think it has to be something to do with attitude or... I wouldn't have a clue. I haven't heard anything. Usually you hear a little bit of inner rumblings, but I haven't heard anything about it. I just find it weird that he keeps getting put into either lock or halves or he was on the bench. He's just getting shifted around in the Magpies. So I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. We bought him to play this super sub position and just not getting it.
It reminds me a little bit of back in the day with John Morris. We didn't really know. Sometimes he'd play in the half. Sometimes he played hooker. We didn't really know what to do with him. Righto. So betting-wise, we're underdogs in this one. So just loading up the... we're $2.50 outsiders in this one. Does that a bit of bias coming through? Obviously, the Dragons played really, really well, but they're in Wollongong. Does that seem like a good price for us, Rob?
I think it is. I'm surprised by the betting. It should have been a line ball bet, maybe with them having a home ground advantage. Break down the teams. I think obviously St. George got the edge in the centres, but I really think we've got a clear advantage in the forwards. We've got a lot more leg speed, work them over a bit in the middle. So they're going to try and get it out wide as much as they can. And I think we're just going to play it a little bit more up the middle. So I'd expect Jacko to be using those inside balls through our forwards and just really working them over and turning them over. And, you know, they've got an old hooker too. He tries hard, McCulloch, and he always seems to, you know, have a dart from dummy half and get held up over the line and stuff like that. But I just think they've got a few old legs there and we can get him in the forwards. But I'm not expecting a big victory or anything like that. I'll take a one-point victory. It's going to be a tight game. I'm not
three in a row.
I'm not going to say, things happen in three. So I'd take a one-point victory, three times in a row. It'd be good.
It won't be
easy, but I'm very surprised by the price.
That's a David Middleton question. Has anyone ever won by a field goal three games in a row? That's to be pretty rare. We're usually pretty good at Wollongong, just looking at our previous games there. So last game, obviously last year, we won 16-8. 2020, we won 24-14. And then all the way back to 2008. We won 18-10. I drove on my P plates. I was 20 years old going to that game. I drove down all the way from Terrigal to Wollongong for that game. I still remember that night, Benji Marshall carving up. And then we lost back in 2002, 33-22, and we won in our inaugural season of 2015-9. They're all pretty similar score lines. It seems like the Dragons can't really score against us very well in Wollongong. One try, two tries, one try. The loss in 2002 was five tries, and then the first game, one try. So not that it means for anything. I mean, previous results mean SFA for basically today's game, but or the incoming game. But Shane, how confident are you walking into this game?
Oh, look, let's be honest. They're two informed teams at the moment. I just think it's going to be a good game of footy. Both of them are keen. Both of them won a couple. We just need to keep in the fight. Just need to play 80 minutes of football. If we play 80 minutes of football, we can beat them. Their team isn't as good as what we face against the Rabbitohs, and their team's not as good as the Eels. So really, like, we should be able to beat these guys. And I'm hoping convincingly. I'm hoping we can put a few tries on them and get through them, because our for and against ain't looking that good when we're winning by one and losing by a lot. So,
as Rob says, if we win by one, I'll be happy. Like, you just got to win. Just bank, keep banking wins. Derek says, I worry we seem to fall back at games we should have won. Yeah, that's true. But Rob, I feel like two wins in a row, getting that monkey off our back, the confidence is pretty high with the team right now. I think there's a lot of belief with Jackson Hastings calling the shots at seven. The great Michael Scott from The Office said, I'm ready to get hurt again. But I'm pretty confident heading into the... I've tipped us to win this week. And we just got to repeat what we did the last 2 weeks. But Derek is right. We do tend to shit the bed against teams like... not that the Dragons... I'm going to call the Dragons played well last week, though. But, Rob, how much confidence are you taking down to Wollongong on Sunday?
I think his internet might be pretty average.
Rob? The hotel Wi-Fi is obviously letting you down.
I like all those comments that are coming about. We're meant to win and all that.
Rob, you're cutting in and out a bit there.
I'm on 5G here. Can you hear me now?
That's better. Yeah,
just came back.
What about now? Have you got me? I was just going to say that the days of complacency are gone, guys. I'm not saying we're going to win every game, but we're not going to lose from complacency. We're going to lose to teams that execute better than us, or if we make mistakes or anything like that. I've seen a newfound resilience in this team that I have never seen before. And I mean never. This team hates losing. They've realised, they know what it's like to lose. They know how crap it feels. They've basically known that, you know, a few of them have been on their last chances in first grade. The coach is about to get sacked after one more big loss. We had one big loss against Cronulla. It was touted that if we had another big loss, he's going to get sacked. We're not going to be complacent anymore, guys. It's just about execution. And luckily for us, we executed better than South last week. So I'm not confident in the sense that, you know, I don't think we're better than every other team, but I know now these guys have got no quit in them. So, and that's the most important thing. And we've just got to keep building. If it happens this year, great. If it goes into next year, even better. But I'm actually seeing a bit of a Melbourne Storm mentality with our players. I really do. I think Madge has got his spirit ingrained into all these players now. And, you know, you're talking about Jacob Little earlier. For someone that's asked for a release and knows he's not going to be there next year and to put in like he did last week, they're all buying in, guys. So, you know, whether we win or not, I hope we can win, and I'd like to think we can win. But if we lost, I wouldn't be surprised. But it's not going to be because we think St George is shit, or we think, you know, we're, you know, it's all gone to our heads, and we're, you know, we think, oh, we've had two in a row, they can't beat us. I think we're okay, guys. We'll be fine. Forget the Tigers rocking up and losing by 30 odd points to Canterbury, who are coming last. That's not going to happen anymore, in my opinion.
I hope so. I
know so, I get, man. I've never believed so much now. Like, we all love the team. I'm in love with this team right now. Like, I just believe so much into where we should be with this, with our team, and how we should play, and how we, you know, everyone, like I said, even the mistakes we made last week, everyone busted their ass last week, putting in, like Shane said, playing all in different positions and all that sort of stuff. The guys are going to give their best every week. We've just got to execute as best as we can. That's all, because we're going to play teams that have got more talent than us. And, you know, like I've said, we're short-stocked in the centres, and they've got other ways of beating us. You know, Moses Mbai's got really good pass selection, you know, near the line. He can go short, he can go long, he can put a grubber kick behind, you know, a big second rower who's playing in the centres, for example. He can take advantage of Safa Toa, who's not, you know, real, you know, not experienced at fullback. There's so many ways they can beat us, but I just know we're going to show up and have a go, and that's what, you know, we missed in a few games last year, like the Melbourne game, the Canterbury game, the Cronulla game this year. So definitely the boys have got some confidence out of it, but I've got some confidence in them now too, which I didn't really have much of at the start of the year.
Yeah, a compliment from Jared there. The greatest hype man. Rob's the greatest hype man. Ready to run through a wall. Rachel's got a question for you, Rob. Last podcast, you spoke about any chance of Luch staying due to the North Queensland back rollers being so good this year. Is this rumour a hope? That was a pure...
Solely hope.
That was a pure prayer. It was a prayer to the football
guys. It was a bit of hope, and it was just a bit, you know, like we're talking about our hookers at our club, it was like, how are they going to fit all their second rowers in their club? That was just my logic behind it. So nothing more than
it's
that.
It's happened before.
Yeah, no. Not impossible. Yeah, but, you know, if we start the rumour, you never know.
Well, yeah.
Just plant it and let it go.
Yeah, plant it and let it go.
Right, boys. We'll finish with predictions. Shane, give us a predicted score.
I reckon 30-16.
Obviously, our way.
Tigers. Yep. Look, wow. This is the biggest. This is the biggest test for the boys. This really is the biggest test, because we shouldn't have won against the Eels. We shouldn't have won against the Rabbitohs. This is a game where we all believe we should win. And these are the games, as people have said, we usually fall. Look, I don't care if we lose, because let's be honest, St. George last week were playing good. The thing is, Roosters were playing very shit. If we come in and play good, St. George won't get the opportunities like they did against the Roosters. I really think we can put some tries on, and especially with Jackson there leading us, I really do think we're going to put some good tries on, especially Kenny and Noffa playing how they're playing at the moment. I'm really confident.
Gavin pointed out 650 for Tigers 13 plus there. That's worth a lobster, isn't it?
Definitely.
Love the confidence. Righto, Rob. And yeah, just give us your predictions in the chats, guys. We'll send them up. What are you thinking? Gavin's confident as well. 28-12, two tries and offer.
I can't work out if it's going to be a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game. Part of me says, when you put in efforts like St. George and the Tigers did last weekend, that it's hard to get up again, and, you know, you might leak a few more points. But I don't know. I feel like it's going to be our way, 19-18 or 25-24 or something like that. But I think we've got the edge in the forwards, and forwards win matches. So look, the one thing that does give me some encouragement is I thought, even though it worked out for them, I thought St. George tried to, you know, they weren't looking to score points last week in the last 20 minutes. They were just happy to sit on their 14-6 lead at the time. So I just think the way they finished their game as opposed to how we finished our game, we were like, we had a bit of momentum coming into full time. They were kind of like hanging on, looking for the post. So that just gives me a bit more hope. But, I mean, St. George are the sort of team too, if we have a lead, they'll just, you know, throw the ball around. there's no way they're going to line up with Jack Bird, surely. The guy's got a broken arm or something. So I think that team list is a crock. I think we'll probably find Amone in there, who's a dangerous stepper, a little bit like Benji. But, look, I think we can get them, guys. And I'm going to give you a little bit more hype. Two little predictions. I reckon Jacko might score a try this week, which isn't such a big deal. But I reckon we might get Twoll to break the duck this week. If ever he's going to break the duck, this is going to be it. So, I just think second half, some inside ball, lazy defenders. I think Alex Twoll can get a try second half this week. So, let's see how we go with that.
Right, I'll calculate how much that'll be worth. 13 plus and a 12 try. Shane, do you reckon Twolley can score a try as I calculate that and put?
Look, if we get him close enough to the line, I think he can get there. We just need to get close to the line because I just don't think he has the legs in him. He's just like, especially with how much he tackles, as if you're not wrecked after that. So, look, if we get him close to the line, he can do a little barge over, but I think that's the only way we're going to get him through. He's too slow to hit a hole. They see it coming from a mile away. So,
my one concern,
$31.
Guys, my one concern is if Alex Twoll scores with about 15 or 20 minutes left, our whole team's going to lose focus. They're going to be celebrating. They're going to be celebrating like it's 2005, and they're just going to, like, if Alex scores, it needs to be in the last minute and wrap the game up and just don't do it.
Game winner.
Be the game winner or something like that, so we can have a little bit of a party, a bit like Zaccini sort of thing, near the end of the game.
31-25. Yeah, Gavin's got obviously looking at sports bet.
That's wow,
that's the price that came up as well. Worth a couple of bucks there. I'm thinking. Yeah, I think we should really win this. I think we can score points pretty well. The weather, I should have mentioned it earlier. I did look up the weather. It's a rain in the morning, then about 18 degrees and cloudy around 4 o'clock. So I don't think it's meant to rain that much. I reckon we can score 5 tries on Sunday. I reckon probably not kick all the goals. I know Hastings is doing pretty well. I'm going to say 28 to 18.
That ground's hard too. That ground's hard because it's right up against the water, and that wind literally just rushes over that hill, and it is wild. Like, there's games there. I'm just like, I think it was the 2020 game just before COVID hit. I was down there, and during the cup game, so we watched the cup game first, and it was absolutely wild. Like, the wind coming up over the hill, all of a sudden it just calmed down for the NRL game. But that was a pretty cool day because Benji was still there, and you know, you guys know my mate Oscar. He's good mates with Josh Alloyer, so we actually went down and sat with all the boys and chilled out for the whole first game there, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good ground. Fun. The Steelers Club nearby. It's a nice little spot down there. But yeah, if you can get there, get down and support the boys. If not, West Ashfield. I'll be at West Ashfield on Sunday with the Ambush function going on there. They've even asked me to come up on stage for some reason. Yeah, we're getting invites left, right, and center. Yeah, it's so come out to West Ashfield on Sunday, boys. Where are you watching the game on Sunday? Any plans yet? You're obviously away on holidays, Rob. When are you back in Sydney,
mate? I'll find somewhere. Don't you worry. If I have to resort to my room, I'll find it. Just a little brag, Josh. I did tip 24-22 last week. So I apologise for being one point out. Yeah, I did. I tipped 24-22. It ended up 23-22. So I wasn't too far out. But, you know, if you sling enough shit, eventually some of it sticks.
That sums up being a West Tigers fan perfectly. So, pretty much. Boys, that does it for the preview episode for this week. So obviously, we'll be back next week to review this game, and we'll be live on the Facebook, the YouTube, and the Twitter. So be sure to follow us and subscribe on those platforms. And thanks to everyone joining us in the chat. They definitely improved the show massively for us tonight.
That's good fun.
Sending through
their answers. Great interaction. Shane's love it.
Shane's ready for bed.
I'm wrecked. I did absolutely nothing today as well. I did one job and then had to wait for people to come pick pumps up. And they were three hours late, so I was so bored. 3 hours, I was like, this sucks, man. Hurry up.
Shane, if you have trouble sleeping tonight, just count threes and fours, all right?
That's what I need to do. And I need to cross them over. Threes against fours, fours against threes, fours against fours.
34, 43, yeah. Righto, boys. As always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by West Ashfield Leagues Club and as well as MG Pump Solutions. If you could please subscribe if you'd love to hear us again. We're going to have episodes twice a week this season, Mondays and Thursdays. So we're going to, as the season rolls in, be sure to catch us every week. And if you can, give us a like on the socials. So at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Search for Westlife Podcast on Facebook. And if you'd like to take part in the show, patreon.com/Westlife. It's just a couple of bucks a month to help grow the show. We'll see you again next time on the West Life Podcast.